okay, we're going to continue on in the distro room number two. We're going to continue on with Vincent. It's not really a distribution talk, it's more about a desktop. Vincent works with the GNOME project, and he's going to talk to you about how to work well with GNOME upstream.
Well, so again, since I was a bit lazy, I didn't want to do a real talk, so it's again going to be some discussion with you. That's really, I mean, that's easy for me. If you don't know me, I'm Vincent Huns. I'm working on GNOME upstream, pretending to do a lot of stuff, but letting other people do the real work. And I'm also downstream because I'm packaging GNOME Pulp and Suzy. So I believe I have some good ideas of what's going upstream and the issues we have downstream too. And the goal of this talk is to make sure that upstream and downstream are communicating, and so that we know. How many people here are upstream GNOME people? Please raise your hands. Something like 10 people and me. I forgot. And how many people are working on GNOME but downstream, packaging it, testing it, and stuff like that? So we have some of the people who are the same one, but yeah, okay. We have also different people. That's cool. And so, yeah, the idea that I really wanted to discuss all the things that we are doing right and things that we are not doing good upstream and downstream for GNOME. So again, feel free to interrupt me and start discussing about something completely different from what is on the slides. That's what I want to see at me. So first I was just wanting to introduce some communication channels that we have between upstream and downstream. It's really some general information that you should already know fully. So we have a distributor list mailing list, which is supposed to be a point of contact for downstream people to know what's going on upstream. So for example, if there are some really important bugs that have a fix and that you should backport the fix for your stable distribution, a mail should be sent there. If you have an issue in your distribution, I think that it's a really big issue, you should probably talk to people there. We also have Bugzilla, of course. We have IRC and conferences where people can talk to each other. So it's all the classic story. I guess you all know about that. I'm not sure that there's a lot of things to tell about that. So one of the things I'm really interested in is all the things that are related to the GNOME release. Since I'm part of the release team, I've trying to figure out if we're doing a good job, if we're communicating that greatly to downstream people, if downstream people have some comments to do to tell us about the release we do. So I just put some topics like are the release we do of good quality? Is the 6-month schedule that we have good for you? Are you well aware of how it's done? Which version of module needs to be used for a specific release? Do you know this information? Do you need to know it? Stuff like that. So I put a lot of stuff. And so this is mostly for downstream people to get the feeling of what if we're doing things right from the upstream perspective. Do you have enough information about all that? So some comments about that, maybe, from people. Let me run again.
I think 6-month release or base time release, 6 months, 1 year is really useful for the distribution because they know what to do it can help them take decision what version to upload. But in GNOME, now we are talking only about the main component of GNOME on 4 or all other applications which are hosted. And for application, I know that the release schedule is not so predictable. So
for example, a rhythm box.
So yeah, you would like the in general, GNOME applications support GNOME schedule.
Yes.
So, for example,
not really with GNOME.
Well,
with
to have a GNOME schedule. So, for example, Banshee people announced like a few months ago that they would just use the GNOME schedule. This is the kind of stuff that you would like to see. Okay.
Yeah, so basically, it would be nice to have somehow like a policy for an app to be GNOME compatible, to have also the.
That makes sense, yes, I guess. Anybody else?
Maybe a stupid question, but do you put the recommended build order of the packages in the release notes? I remember they were there and some release like 2.4, 2.8, something like that, and then at one point they were you did not publish them any longer. Are they back or?
So that's a good question. We don't have official order to build modules. But you could use GHBuild to get that actually. If you use GHBuild, what is it? List? GHBuild list and GNOME desktop module set or whatever, something like that. You can get the order that we use when the release team smoke test the new GNOME release, the order that we use to build the modules. So we don't think it makes sense to publish that because when we did that a few years ago, it was mostly for end users who were compiling GNOME themselves. And we thought that distributors would not have that kind of issue. But if you think that it makes sense.
I think it made sense because I'm doing the GNOME packages for a BSD system. And what I was doing with this build order was to provide a meta package that just builds them along the official order.
Okay, so
try to write the script to
I mean, it's really easy to do.
Yeah.
It's so we just have to do it, and that's good feedback to have. Any other comment on that? So I have one comment as downstream. One issue I have when I package a new version for OpenSUSE is that when an upstream module had a new configure option, for example, you usually read the change in the news file and the configure option might not be documented. Or if there's a new dependency which is useful for some feature, it might not be documented. And that's an issue we have because a lot of modules are not using a really well-formatted news file, and so we don't know what to change when we update the package. So I think upstream could do a better job at that. So something to keep in mind for upstream people, I guess. The gen to die.
Another problem with new releases and when you you talk about the configuration options, we a lot of times have some problems with automatic dependencies, and sometimes upstream took long to apply some patches we give them to not build software depending on software we don't want to be depending. I mean, like, if I want IO of GNOME without without TIFF support, for example, I can disable it. But maybe IO of GNOME is building it automatically. Yeah, I'll configure it.
Yeah, I saw some patches like that in Bugzilla, and that's true that sometimes it takes time to apply them. So. That's generally the feedback about taking some time to apply the patches from Bugzilla. I didn't think I would have to run like that, I'm sorry. Regarding
this. From a Debian point of view, we find sometimes new features are Red Hat centric, and they don't even work on Ubuntu or Debian. For example, GDM new releases depend on X running on the first virtual kernel, for example, and Debian doesn't work like that. Or for example, package kits didn't have a they have a means to communicate with the user when operating, for example, and Debian depends on that. It has a .com content and so on. TypeScript wasn't thought like that. So that's a problem when GNOME pushes a technology which isn't ready for some of the bigger distributions like Ubuntu.
Okay.
That's
good.
It was fixed, but
I guess
it has been around for...
Yeah, true. It took some time. I blame Richard for that.
Guilty.
So, for what you were saying, for example, the when features are centric to some distribution, you were saying Red Hat, but I mean, it could be the same for OpenSUSE or Debian or whatever.
I said Red Hat, so
yeah.
I
know. I'm not sure that we are aware of that kind of stuff. I mean, the release team is not aware of that, for example. So maybe don't hesitate to contact the release team in such case. I think it's important. Any other comment on that? No? So let's try to move to the next slide. But. What? There are no bugs. Well, in GNOME we have tons of bugs, unfortunately. But there are good bugs. So I put some stuff about the bugs. That's from my experience. I'm pretty sure that you all have some experience with bugs too. A lot of users don't really know about GNOME upstream and are reporting bugs directly downstream in the bugs of the distribution or launchpad if it's Ubuntu or dead bugs for Debian or whatever. And so we have to make sure that downstream people are forwarding the bugs upstream, but if possible only the relevant bugs, which is not always the case. And so that's the triage part. And also when we have this, one difficulty is that when upstream has a bug forward from downstream and we need more information, we put the bug in need info state, but the reporter downstream doesn't know about that. And so the bug doesn't move. So that's the kind of issue we have. I would like to know what is the experience of people upstream, downstream about that. How do you feel about that? Is it globally doing okay? Are we doing fine? Or is this a big issue for people?
Well, I'm both upstream and downstream, so as downstream, I'm usually unable to fix a bug or make sure that I know that this is a known bug, etc. So I usually tell people, fill your bug upstream directly, because if I do it for you, we will have the need info tracking problem, because if I am a proxy between upstream and the user, you can be sure it works for one bug, for two bugs, for 100 bugs, it can't work. So that's really an issue. And another thing that would be great, but I don't know if now Bugzilla supports it, would be to be able to migrate bugs between Bugzillas. If a user fill a bug on Mandriva or SUSE or whatever, downstream, be able to push the bug, if we know that it's not a distro specific bug, push the bug upstream, And on the other hand, if there is a lot of reports from one specific distro upstream, be able to push the bug down, downstream, that would be great.
Yeah, I will give you the microphone, just one thing. As upstream, I had several bugs from users of set of distributions. It could be Gentoo, it could be Ubuntu, Fedora, whatever. It's not important. And it's a crash, and I look at the stack trace, and it doesn't make any sense. And that's because there's a patch downstream. And that's highly annoying that this bug got forwarded to me, but it's not my fault, you know. So that's something to keep in mind from downstream people when you forward a bug. Make sure that it's not your fault first.
I was exactly on the same page because I'm just a simple user of the GNOME. And my first behavior when I'm facing a bug is just to ping my distro-specific packager and to forward him the bug. And it's up to him to say if it's a bug which is distro-specific or GNOME-specific. And I think the point that Frederick just pointed out, it could be very useful for him because I'm addressing him the bug to be able to switch it to upstream because it's not, he is going to say this bug is not vulnerable or read at all, anything specific. I see that this is a key point because if I'm reporting directly upstream, I would be told, as you just pointed out, please just check this is not a distro specific bug. And I see it could be a nice way not to overload the upstream team. Just report to your local to your distribution team and ask these people to forward upstream when it's needed only.
Well, speaking as a simple GNOME user here, every time I report a bug in GNOME Bugzilla, well, I'm very afraid of the result. Because I use Fedora, so I will report the bug, it will be fixed or not. And 1 year later, the same version will hit Debian. And I'll have, during 3 months, duplicate. I only receive tens and even hundreds sometimes when make the mistake of reporting a bug against evolution of duplicates in my inbox. And that really doesn't motivate me to report bugs upstream.
Okay, so for that case, it would be nice that if Bugzilla had an option for the reporter simply to opt out of bug mail for that specific bug. And as far as I know, it still doesn't exist, but there's more than likely a ticket in Bugzilla Mozilla org that you could look up or, well.
But that's annoying also when you're an upstream developer because I'm getting those kind of things too. So yeah. Anybody else? I think I saw a hand raised. No? Okay. So we have to be careful about the bugs and how they are forwarded upstream and to make sure that upstream also handle them if possible. Yeah. Then I wanted to talk about patches. Don't hesitate if you have another topic, by the way. So patches. As downstream, now I understand that sometimes we have to add patches. I used to not understand that, but now I kind of understand. And the main issue that I had when I started working on OpenSUSE is that we had like tons of patches for GNOME, and they were not documented, they were not sent upstream, and so it was just a nightmare. So we have to make sure that we always send the patches upstream. We have to make sure also that it's easy for upstream people to see our patches because it's a common request. And there's also an open issue, like when you need a specific feature and that upstream doesn't want it, you end up with a patch that you will keep up for forever. And so how do you handle that? So do you have any experience on that as upstream? Like you didn't see any patches from some distribution for whatever or whatever, or from downstream, how difficult it is. Why are you there? Come on.
I was going to say about Ubuntu. I had big problems with Ubuntu 2 or 3 years ago where the patches wouldn't ever go upstream. And I, to give them their credit, have been a lot better in the last 6 months, 9 months, for me specifically, pushing patches up to, pushing bugs up to no bugzilla, and also patches back up to the maintainer. So I know I've bitched about Ubuntu before and patches. I think to this point, given their dues, that it is getting better.
Man, this is not going to make it. Who is taking a picture of me doing that?
Video take that.
I see. This was...
So in fact, I don't have any specific patching experience with GNOME. I'm a Debian maintainer, but I'm not maintaining GNOME downstream. But still, there's a shameless plug, which is quite interesting here. So in Debian, we are going to adapt a specific format to tag patches. So basically, it's a set of comments at the beginning of each patches where you say, where you store simple stuff like the patch author and the patch description, but also the status of forwarding of the patch. So you can write stuff, it has been forwarded to upstream that day, it has been accepted but not yet released and stuff like that. Ubuntu is going to accept the very same metadata, let's say, for tag patches, and I've been speaking with the Fedora guys which are going to consider it. So maybe it's a kind of interesting practice to consider at least. And if you're interested, it's the DEP, Debian Enhancement Proposal Number 3, Tag Patching Guidelines. Google for that.
And also there's a patch tracker for...
So I think there was a mail sent to the distributions meeting it about that. Maybe, I don't remember. So it probably makes sense indeed to as many distributions as possible to use the same format, so we can easily know what's going on in the documentation of status of patch. And also, there is a website for Debian, which is patchtracker.debian.org, I think, which is amazing. It's finally easy to find a patch from a Debian package, and I love that. I know that Ubuntu or something like that, which is patches.ubuntu.com, it's also relatively easy, but less easy. Fedora has the CVS, which is browsable. Mongiva has the SVN, which is browsable. OpenSUSE is not doing a good job there right now, but I have a hack which is working fine. But so we have, like, on the GNOME Wiki, we have a list of links to all the patch trackers from distributions. And so, adding the patch easily findable is really a good step for maintainers. Anybody else on patches?
Yeah.
Two ideas. One, which would be great, would be, since GNOME is using Git, to have all distro for each module, to have a branch for each distro, so that easily upstream could get downstream patch, or even between downstream to be able to see what other distro has done. And another thing which is now becoming very useful is Git Bugzilla. Being able, when you are doing your patch on your package, in 10 seconds to be able to fill a bug with the patch attached. You don't have to open your browser, fill a 10 description line, attach a file, etc. We have to make sure that for patch to be pushed upstream, it must be very easy to be sent upstream from downstream.
I
I just have a question for the distro specific packages. How much of your patches are distro specific? Is there anything which is common between all of them, or does every single patch is distro specific?
So in my case, I know that I have some patches which are distro specific because we don't have the same infrastructure below. So for example, we have some in OpenSUSE, we have some integration with Yast, which doesn't make sense upstream, and nobody else will care about that. So it really depends. But in general, I don't know for the distribution, but I expect that most patches are not distro specific. I guess.
So very few chance to have a common interest for upstream.
So sometimes we have stuff which is.
We were discussing that some hours ago. Sometimes there are patches which are distro useful, which could be cross distro useful, but which are not upstream useful at all. For instance, be able to have another set of translation for menu entries in the GNOME panel. Almost all distro has a way to override translation in that desktop file. But for upstream, there is no point, because upstream, the translation is in that desktop file. So that's one example of one feature which is not useful for upstream, but useful for almost every distro.
To give a concrete example on that, we have a patch which is shared by Mandriva, Ubuntu, and OpenSUSE for that. It's the same patch, but it's not upstream.
For many projects?
What do you mean?
It sounds really weird to me that upstream would not accept this patch. It sounds really
weird. No, so the idea that, can we talk about that later?
Yeah.
Because I don't have a lot of time left. But the basic idea that distributions need to update the translations easily, and they don't want to send an update of the desktop file. They want to use a PO file for that. And upstream doesn't care about this way. That's all. I just wanted to ask the upstream people we have here, what do you think about the idea of having a Git branch for all distributions which have a patches? You think it makes sense, or?
No.
Come on, come here.
I can shout.
Shout.
I had a package kit and had an OpenSUSE branch, Fedora branch, and it worked really well for a few weeks, and then nobody started using it, so it never got reversed. So I think it worked for a little bit, but then the distros just kept doing their own thing with the spec files. So I think it works well as an idea, but maybe not in reality.
So maybe the issue there is that the tools we are using for RPM are not really well integrated with Git.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think it can only work if it's automated. It has to be automatically put there. It would certainly be useful to have that sort of thing. I tried it on my LVM, my project for a while, but it was just unmaintainable unless it could be automated.
Okay, I think we have only 10 minutes left. 11, 15? Yeah, well, 11. I have two things I wanted to discuss again. Sometimes upstream we are doing some big changes, like the migration to GDFS, the GDM 220 versus GDM 224, which was completely different, and moving ATSPy from COBLA to DBus. And those changes have a high impact on distributions, and sometimes distributions don't understand why we are doing them, and because it's not stable yet. So for example, in the GDM case, the new GDM was not adopted by quite a few distributions for a long time. So I'd like to know how people feel about that, how we can improve the situation there, because, I mean, didn't happen only once, but it happened not always, but from time to time. So it's something that it'd be nice to fix and to have a good solution for. I'm sure that Fred would like to comment on GDM, but yeah. What do you think? Nothing. You're all happy with the big change that GNOME is doing and breaking everything for users. Well, Fedora people are happy, but... Yeah.
I think that the other distribution just choose not to use, so... Like in the GTM case, we just... They're not using this, the software because it's not working for them. Epiphany, for example.
Yeah, so for example, what we did for GDM is when GNOME 2.24 went out, we said that there is a new GDM, it's completely different. We think it's working relatively well, but if you want stability, you should use the old one. So it was kind of documented, but still people were not really happy with that. So, but maybe there's no other way to do it. I don't know.
So I think that if it's documented and if somehow the GNOME are aware that those are big changes or things can go out of control, if they say, oh, look, we are trying to push Fedora, for example, or we try to push it in as an official just to get more feedback, but you can still stay with this tool, and if using GDM, the old branch, was usable and not breaking other things in the new GNOME, I think that's fine. So
yeah, but it only works for or leaf package.
It only works for leaf package like GDM. You can replace old new GDM by old GDM, but GVFS or ATSPR, it's becoming a little harder when it's really deep in the stack. So how do we manage that?
The same question will happen with GNOME shell. If we start to integrate GNOME shell inside the GNOME application, and distribution maybe don't want that.
So I'm sure a lot of people didn't hear, but what Xavier said, that we're going to have the same issue with GNOME shell. If people start to migrate applications to integrate with GNOME shell, maybe the applications won't be working fine without GNOME shell, which might be an issue. And then we have Emanuele, which is making big signs. What are you? Who cares? What do you mean?
I can project a little bit.
Cool.
If an application is starting to use a new feature that is provided by GNOME shell, it just means that the new application requires as a hard requirement on GNOME shell. You can treat it basically as any other application that depends on a new library or a new feature. So you ship an old version of the application until your users will start complaining because you're not shipping the latest and greatest bleeding edge, and you will be forced to ship GNOME shell. I understand it's problematic, but from upstream perspective is we cannot stop developing because suddenly we need to cover every single stability issue that downstream might have. Otherwise, we have stagnation. We cannot do anything else.
So I think I more or less agree with you, but I think the main issue that if you decide to stay with the old empathy, for example, it will not be maintained anymore. And that's the issue people face. For example, if you look at GNOME Power Manager, and I'm sure that, yeah, he will look at me, Richard did a good job when he moved from HAL to DeviceKit. He just kept maintaining the old branch of GNOME Power Manager for a while, and that was really good for distributions.
Absolutely. And so, if I maintain as time to act upstream, not tenable from a backend stable perspective to ask that a maintainer keep maintaining an old branch for 3 years.
Sure, I agree with that.
No worry. However, if, say, GVFS, if you were going to push GVFS in some deep module like Nautilus, you really need to get GVFS that didn't happen at some point. So for maybe 1 year, there was a real mess in Debian at least, because Nautilus was crashing and so on, because it had moved partially to GBFS, but some other stuff wasn't working with GBFS, and it was a mess. So if we want to push GNOME shell support in some other stuff, we really need GNOME shell stuff to really work well, because if not, it's going to be a new mess.
So I guess the issue for upstream there is that if you want to make sure that GVFS, so in the GVFS example, if we want to make sure that GVFS and Nautilus are working fine, we need to deliver that to users. Else we wouldn't be able to know that it's not working fine.
Or maybe wait 6 more months to deliver that until it's a bit more like
that. In Emmanuel Isla. No. I think it's a difficult topic, and yeah, that's the kind of discussion I want to have with that.
On the other hand, Debian didn't have any problem with keeping back the inner failure subreddit, so nothing happened. I mean, we had I don't remember the GNOME version, but maybe we had GNOME 2.24 and Nautilus 2.20 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a big deal, except we didn't have any Nautilus feature at all.
Okay.
It was stable.
Okay.
Distributors need to decide what version to choose if they want a really stable system. And that is what Debian did at least.
So just to move on quickly, since we have only 5 minutes left, or 4 now, I guess. I wanted to quickly discuss the impact of GNOME 3 for downstream. We've started talking about GNOME shell. I've written some stuff there, just some crap, if you can read that. But I want to know if downstream people are well aware of how GNOME shell will impact them, if it's going to be an issue for you, if we need to change some stuff upstream for the GNOME 3 effort, or whatever. We want feedback on that. Shout, please.
I think a lot of people are scared shitless about applets.
Applets?
Yeah.
For what reason?
The fact that they've got code that works, they've got a UI that they like, and there's no way to display the applet with GNOME shell.
So, do you think that the plan of having GNOME panel still available for use, if people don't want to use GNOME shell, is enough for that, or...? It will not be actively developed, but it will be maintained, at least for a bit, hopefully. Like it was in the past, so.
I'm not sure.
Any other comment on that?
Yeah. I don't know if GNOME shell is something that other applications need to integrate inside. If it's just a standalone application that you install or don't install, that distribution can decide. But if other applications start to integrate some technology from GNOME shell inside the application, then it will be a choice to keep the old GNOME or move to GNOME 3.
Yeah.
And nothing in between.
So you're a bit worried as upstream that...
That upstream continue with GNOME 3, and if distributor will just keep back GNOME 2, and will never.
Which means more maintenance for you of all stuff.
I don't care.
That's GNOME upstream. They don't care.
And that's the next point. That I don't understand how GNOME stream says we maintain that distribution for 3 years. I mean, nobody maintained that. Upstream, we will never maintain any application for 3 years. Never.
Well, we kind of do for security bugs, but that's all. Yeah, well, people care too, actually. Maybe not for empathy, but. Okay, so I'm running out of time. So if you want to discuss that, please come and talk to me, or you can talk to any of the releasing people. We have Andre, Olaf there.
we have Frederic also. So we have a lot of people. Don't hesitate to come and talk about that. As upstream, as downstream, we need feedback on that kind of stuff to know how to do the right thing. Thanks, everybody.
Merci, Vincent.